Okay, so now that this new name has been announced, what happens next for someone walking into a doctor's clinic? Is it now referred to as PMOS?
I think, as with any big change, it'll likely take a little bit of time for the new name to filter through to doctors' clinics. There's quite a long process for the change. So the new name was officially announced on Tuesday in Prague at the European Congress of Endocrinology. So what now happens is that there are going to be dozens of new academic articles being published in the coming weeks, months that will use the new name, I guess, as a kind of concerted effort for it to gain public recognition. The researchers are quite keen to engage health professionals, governments, researchers, but also the general public, people who are affected by the condition, to be able to understand that we now call it PMOS. And then further down the track, then has to be this kind of formal engagement process with international bodies. So there's a classification system called the International Classification of Diseases. And so every formal diagnosis has an ICD code. So it will eventually be changed on the ICD. And eventually there will be in the next set of guidelines for the condition, which is going to be published in 2028.
Donna, I have to ask, will changing the name actually improve or affect things for people who are diagnosed with this condition or are not diagnosed with this condition, like the many hundreds who have written into The Guardian?
Well, I guess that remains to be seen. But having spoken to one of the key researchers who has led this change and having heard from women in our call out, people are really hopeful that this will help not only patients affected by the condition, but the broader public actually understand what the condition is now that it's got a name that accurately reflects the disorder rather than something that is based on a misnomer. Hopefully at a base level, it might improve diagnosis and recognition of the condition and also affect the way in which it's managed. Because it was seen for so long as just a reproductive condition, we've heard from women who were diagnosed as teenagers and basically just put on the pill and told, you don't need to do anything about it. Come back when you're trying to get pregnant. That advice only really addresses one aspect of the condition, and that's if you have an irregular period. But we know, for example, that it increases your risk of type 2 diabetes. It increases your risk of mental ill health. And so we know that there were all these aspects of the condition that perhaps medical professionals weren't adequately recognizing and putting enough stock in because the name specifically was restricted to PCOS and a focus on the ovaries.
Donna, thank you so much for your time and for talking us through what is quite a complex but significant change.
Thanks for having me on.
That was Donna Liu, an assistant editor at Guardian Australia. And you can find more of her work on theguardian.com, and we've linked to further coverage on the renaming of PCOS on the full story page. That's it for today. This episode was produced by Karishma Luthria and Lou Hill, who also did the sound design and mix. The executive producer of Full Story is Hannah Parks. If you like this episode, don't forget to follow or subscribe to Full Story wherever you listen to podcasts. And you can also leave us a review. I'm Noor Haidar. Catch you next time.